This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za. You're listening to Lerato Mbele on Power 98.7.
Right, as I said, the 22nd of April every year is celebrated, commemorated, observed as World Earth Day, marking the anniversary of the birth of the modern environmental movement to preserve and protect planet Earth in 1970. The movement was motivated by a lack of legal or regulatory mechanisms, we're told, to protect the environment. And so on the 22nd of April 1970, 20 million people took to the streets across the world protesting over the damage that was being done to the planet and its resources, especially with heavy industrialization and the pollution of the atmosphere and industrial processes, and then waste management failings. And now increasingly we're talking about the rise of plastic in the waterways and the oceans of the world. And that speaks to this year's theme as well, plastic, planet versus plastic, underscoring the urgent need for collective action to combat plastic waste. Fishermen are reporting anecdotally and with visual evidence of how when they're catching these huge trawls, a lot of the fish are already choking on plastic, you know. And you'll see crusaders walking along beaches across the world, finding turtles to rescue them out of these plastic nets that they get themselves embroiled in. South Africa also used Earth Day to showcase the inaugural SA Plastics Pact report. But as I said earlier on, you know, this weekend, a volcano erupted in Indonesia and that triggered a tsunami warning. We've also seen erratic weather patterns, whether typhoons, monsoons, hurricanes, in greater propensity. In South Africa, I like the term in South African, say inclement weather. We saw those violent winds in Cape Town 2 weeks ago that brought a lot of chilly air and rain inland as well. And the flooding perennially now in KZN. So Mother Nature is really gasping and is complaining and is crying. It's completely out of kilter, is Mother Nature. And what are the things we could do to preserve the future of the planet? So this is a PPP conversation, planet, people and shared prosperity. Dr. Roland Ngam is the project manager for climate justice at the Rosa Luxemburg Foundation in the Southern Africa office. Dr. Ngam, good morning.
Good morning, Larissa. Good morning to our listeners.
Thank you for your time. And we're also joined by Mamohala Musekene, who is the Deputy Director General responsible for chemicals and waste management in the Department of Forestry, Fisheries and Environment. Good day, Mamohala Musekene.
Good morning, Lerato, and to your listeners and to Dr. Roland as well.
Thank you so much for coming through. Dr. Roland Ngam, let's start with World Earth Day and how far the world has come in a consciousness around the planet since 1970.
Well, Lerato, in 1972, there was a landmark report, the Meadows Report, which stated that human beings really are not living within our planetary boundaries. That is annual emissions of CO2, protection of, like you mentioned, very clearly at the top of the presentation, plastic waste, and also the ocean, pollution, air pollution, and so on, because we talk about plastics in the ocean, but we do not mention what happens in the atmosphere and elsewhere. And then later we adopt the Kyoto Protocol, which leads to the Conference of the Parties, which happens every year. There is a general consciousness that we are not on the right track, but at the same time, we are doing not near enough for this to reduce emissions.
Okay. I want to stay with you, Dr. Ngam. So we're not really doing nearly what's required to protect and preserve the heritage that is planet Earth. We're not having significant conversations or regular conversations around it. But I remember being a little girl, and the big focus at the time was air pollution. But fast forward now, and the big focus is now plastic waste. So tell me about the evolution of the science, the awareness, and the discourse around environmental preservation.
Yes, so, there has been a lot of consciousness thanks to the conference of the parties, notably. But this consciousness really has focused too often on climate change. Global warming is just one element of the aspect. And so we need to look really at planetary boundaries. And when we're talking about planetary boundaries, obviously then plastic waste comes into the equation, as well as other aspects, like how we make our fridges and the kind of aerosols that releases the air spaces. Obviously, if you travel today compared to when you traveled in the 70s, there is certainly more turbulence, as the air industry is saying. And obviously, this is because of the presence of, in the oceans as well as in the atmosphere, a lot more plastic. You and me, we certainly have some of this plastic in our bloodstream as well. It is because of manufacturing processes. We are in the age of the Anthropocene. What does this mean? Human beings have literally transformed almost every square inch of the planet. The foods we eat, most of them are contaminated. We have changed land surfaces, land use really, and manufacturing has put plastics literally everywhere. And that is why some people decided to start focusing on it, because you focus on it, you reduce some of the other problems.
Okay. There's a lot going on in this space. Just briefly before we ask Mamukgala coming in. So, you know, when we think plastics, we think what you get at the shopping center. But we're told that even plastic is in detergents, the things we use to make clothes or clean clothes, in the chemical processes for waste management as well, purification systems. There's a lot of synthetic plastic. Could you just explain to us what that is and what we mean by plastic, Dr. Ngam?
Yes. So the plastic that a lot of people are focusing on, it's not just plastic bags. And obviously, when you have policies like single-use plastic in supermarkets, yes, that is good. But at the same time, there is a lot more in some of the makeup products we use daily, which are really sometimes not very visible to the naked eye. It is really the microplastics that have become a problem. You mentioned there that the fishing nets that turtles get trapped in, those are really the visible side of the problem. But the bigger problem is in what is in our foods that we eat on our plates. Plastics is in literally every single thing around us.
Goodness. Mamukgala Mosekene, please join the conversation now as you represent the Department of Forestry, Fisheries and Environment. This year, World Earth Day also took the opportunity to showcase the SA Plastic Pact inaugural report and some of the significant milestones in improving the recycling rate. I am old enough to remember, Mamukgala, in 2003, when the then Minister of Environmental Affairs, Vali Musa, was stoic and determined to introduce a levy on plastic usage. And people were upset because it now meant if you were going to do your grocery shopping, either you bring your own bag or you must be ready to pay for a plastic bag. And now it's normal.
Yes, Lerato, as part of responding to this challenge of plastic pollution, one of the key policies that government has put in place is the plastic bag levy. So when consumers opt to buy these plastic carrier bags, there is a tax which is meant to be a disincentive just to ensure that they can also consider other alternatives to the plastic carrier bag. But that is not the only policy that we have. Of late in 2020-21, we have introduced extended producer responsibility regulations. And this applies to a broader group of plastic products, one being the packaging, given that initially we only talked about historically controlling through regulations the plastic carrier bags, but now other plastic packaging products, for example, the soft drinks bottles, PET bottles, are part of what is now being controlled. But it's not only packaging. We also have this EPR policy applying to electrical and electronic equipment, because even those, most of them also do contain plastic as a material. So the policy framework has changed, and we are trying to ensure that we address plastic pollution. It's not only at national level, but also I need to take the opportunity to talk to that we talked about oceans. We know that we share them with our neighbors and other countries. So at a global level, we are in the process of also developing an international legally binding instrument. As I speak with you, there is a session, a meeting of countries and other stakeholders around the world meeting in Ottawa to relook at the various control measures that have been put forward as part of the draft text of this international instrument.
Okay, so you are looking at the regulatory and legal framework backed up by research and data to sort of say we should be pursuing laws or amendments to laws that are going to allow us to tackle the plastic problem in this way, in our seas, cooperate with regional partners at SADC level, raise a consciousness, or certainly earn more taxes from those who insist on polluting, whether personal level, residential level, or industrial level. But do you think, outside of the regulatory framework, we as ordinary South Africans, Mamukhala, understand why this is an issue? Do you think we get it? I mean, the amount of plastic waste just in landfills, on the streets, it's still quite alarming.
Yes, I think we do understand it, and we need to be taking action. At a residential level, most of our environments are also impacted upon also by our own behavior as consumers. There are waste management systems that the municipalities have put in place, but we can see that even those are under pressure because either due to poor behavior by consumers, there's littering, but also there is dumping. So the approaches that we need to take to tackle this plastic pollution, it's also a multi-pronged approach and across the value chain. So as we're speaking to producers to look into how they design the products, but we also need to tackle consumer behavior, education and awareness to ensure that the consumers appreciate what we mean by environmentally sound management of plastic waste as well.
All right. Let's bring you back into the conversation, Dr. Ngam. Obviously, the theme for this year is planet versus plastic, because it's becoming a huge issue worldwide. We're seeing our waterways, as you've both described, getting contaminated by plastic. People are flushing their industrial waste into rivers, which then seeps into the oceans, and then the fish eat it. And as you then say, Roland Ngam, we eat the fish, and now we've got traces of that plastic in us. What are the things that can be done right now, Dr. Ngam, to raise consciousness, but also to start being the solution at a micro level? Is it the detergents we buy? Is it how we recycle in our homes? How do we start just grasping at the low-hanging solutions? Dr. Ngam, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Yes, I was saying that it's a really good thing that you are raising this issue and putting it on a national platform so that we all talk about it. Mamohala was also mentioning some of the policies that government has put in place. And it is also heartening to see that President Ramaphosa has really been focused on the carbon, as well as South Africa's nationally determined contributions. Younger people, I would say, are by and large more informed about this, and I'm very happy that when you speak to young people across the board, they are very conscious of single-use plastics and doing a lot. What we need to do more, for example, is at municipal level. You see some of the classes differentiation happening. In the more affluent suburbs, we have recycling that is being done, plastic refuse bags given out by the municipalities. But what happens in the rest of the country, in the other suburbs, the peri-urban areas, that also has to be taken care of. As well as, finally, as well, before I end with this answer, we mentioned the carry bags that supermarkets are giving out these days. But then what about the other plastics, the single-use plastic that is used to keep food fresh and so on? If you look at the pile that the average person brings home, foods and else, it's 10 times more than the one possible.
Okay, we are losing you a little bit there, but what you're saying is, you know, we're focusing on carrier bags, but how do you store your sandwiches? How do you keep food fresh? So there's plastic all around us, you know, the container that has your shampoo in it. What is that made of? And so it's just being aware of those kinds of issues. Mamohala, what would you suggest are the things that South Africans can adopt as best practice just in our day-to-day lives, how we live, how we shop, how we interact with each other?
Lerato, I would encourage us to become more aware. There are, if you've mentioned that plastic is so versatile, it's in most of our products. But for now, what we are trying to encourage is that we want producers to put out the plastic products that are recyclable. As a consumer, there will be labeling linked to whatever products that I've bought. So after the use, I need to ensure that I'm aware of waste management systems around me. We do have waste pickers that are even operating in some of our streets. They go and collect. If as a consumer, as a resident, I put aside the recyclables, I am also contributing towards ensuring that the footprint that is linked to plastic pollution, I'm managing my part.
Okay. Let's expand the conversation beyond plastics, Dr. Ngam, and let's just talk about the general state of Mother Nature right now. As I began, I said, you know, I was surprised to hear that there was a volcanic eruption in Indonesia, and it then triggered a tsunami warning. So Indonesian authorities were saying, keep safe, and we are monitoring the situation to see if there could be a tsunami. And that part of Asia, around the Andaman Sea, is vulnerable to tsunamis. We remember that tsunami in the early 2000s, you know, that decimated many of those islands in that archipelago around Indonesia and Thailand. So we're seeing an increase in these kinds of events. Why?
Yes, certainly, Lerato. The short answer is that since 1850, the beginning of the Industrial Revolution, we have polluted very quickly, and the CO2 emissions that are locked into the atmosphere are causing some of this extreme weather events. The Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change has also indicated that to get back to 1.5 degrees, that is, bring down emissions under more controllable levels, we need to cut these emissions by almost 50%. So half of global industrial output and so on needs to be reduced. So reducing our life, changing our lifestyles, rather, like Mamukhala was saying earlier, being more conscious. But then the bulk of the work has to be done at a governmental level. You mentioned, for example, that when Vali Musa started this crusade against plastic bags, everybody was reticent and so on.
Yeah.
But then when you bring entire society in general to understand the necessity for these changes, then very quickly people will follow. Also, let's also remember that most of the heat that we produce and the CO2 is stored in the ocean.
Okay. Spiro, you'd like to say something briefly?
Hi, Lerato. How are you?
Fine, thank you, sir. Go ahead.
Thank you. Just a quick one. Look, I work as an environmental education officer. What I've picked up is that the issue of environmental issues is not really incorporated in the syllabus. So it becomes difficult to change their mindsets in a very short period of time. So if this can become something that they practice on their daily basis, I think it's something that can work. What I normally do when they visit our center, I give them what we call a sort of a spreadsheet for ecological footprint, and they must score themselves based on when every time they go to shopping, how much of plastic product do they purchase. And then if you score more points, then it means you're doing well. But it's difficult to trace or to monitor the effect of that because you see them once.
Okay. Mamukhala, perhaps you can enter this one, because this is about policy and coordinating and synchronizing policy, because you are in the Department of Environment. Your aim is to raise consciousness and introduce policies that protect country and Mother Nature as a whole. The Department of Education could help with setting a curriculum that really entrenches a lot of this work in the syllabus, and then and so on and so forth. And then the Treasury can be taxing us if we are polluting. So what is that level of working together in government?
Yes, as part of our national waste management strategy, one of the pillars that we have is on awareness and education, and the Department of Education, especially basic education, is a key stakeholder, especially for this aspect that Mpiwe has raised in terms of ensuring that we ensure that we integrate environmental education as part of the curriculum. It is still early stages. Some work has begun, and we are aiming to strengthen that as part of collaborating and cooperating with Education Authority.
Thank you so much for your time. And as we say goodbye to both of you, Dr. Ngam, very briefly, many people say, do you know how many problems we're dealing with in this country? We've got huge issues. And yes, whilst the Mother Nature matters, we can't make it front and center of our agenda. We've got more pressing bread and butter issues. What's your response to that? And why should we make conversations around Mother Earth a very intrinsic part of the conversations we have about the country in general?
Because if we do not do the right things now, life is going to get very, very expensive. You can see what happened with Cape Town's day zeros in the Eastern Cape and so on. When drought hits Southern Africa, you see Zambia and Zimbabwe have no electricity because of drought issues. So if you do not do the right thing, we are going to be paying maybe double or triple what we are paying now for everyday necessities.
Okay. Thank you so much for your time. And please, let's keep the conversations going. Dr. Roland Ngam, who is in the local office for the climate justice at the Rosa Luxemburg Foundation, and of course the Deputy DG in the Department of Forestry, Fisheries and Environment, Mamogela Mosekeni.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.